It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guide.
Good morning and welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the last weekend in March. Gone. But you know what? April's right around the corner. Don't be a fool on Tuesday. But at the end of the day, we're getting that much closer to spring. Was sitting in the hot tub earlier this week, and there were three robins bobbing around my yard, and I'm like, ah! That's the first sign of spring. So it's coming.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Get out and clean up your grill. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking?
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the smokiest show on the airwaves. It is the Grilling Guys. You can catch us on thegrillingguys.com. It's the interweb. And we're also on Facebook/thegrillingguys. And we're just all over the place. You can look at that Grilling Guys website and check out the headset at the top, and that'll show you how to send the podcast to your phone. But if you have an Apple iPhone or certain other ones, you can just go to the podcast app and punch in The Grilling Guys, and you'll see our fantastic logo, which, of course, was created by our good friend Greg Palazzolo, who just did a marvelous job building that logo 15 years ago.
Right. Yeah, it's timeless.
It is.
It's just timeless.
It is. It gets better every year.
And we did copyright it, so that was.
How about that?
Yeah.
We're big.
Right, yeah. That's it.
We're somebody.
We're not any bigger than that, but that's it.
I also had a wonderful hot tub date last night with my girl, and my goodness, I had worked so hard all day that I just said, I got to get in the tub, and she was on it.
Yeah.
She was on it.
Yep.
And she might have had a couple cold beverages.
Right, but that cold, you know, it was like 29 when I got up this morning, and that was, you know, that you're getting near that at nighttime, right, before you go to bed, and there's nothing better than jumping in there and coming out all warmed up, dry off real quick, and jump into bed. Ooh, that makes you sleep like a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it sure does.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
So, you know, this show very often revolves around our personal lives or what were our biggest challenge of the week or whatever it was. In this case, like right now in particular, it was kind of a cleanup show, and I'm focused right now on getting rid of the food in the freezer because, believe it or not, you can't just keep it in there forever.
Right.
Tim Sobey tells us meat is good for maximum of a year because the bacteria keeps growing up into like 70 below zero. So my freezer only goes down to like 10 degrees.
Right.
So the bacteria is still growing. So I want to get that food gone. And, you know, I buy a cow every year, and I've got quite a bit of chucks and steaks and not much burger left, which is backwards. But also just chicken and things that I can't identify right now because they don't go in order after you've gotten done. My daughter-in-law organized it wonderfully when they moved in with us. But it's still, you can't keep that forever because when you're getting rid of a container of chili, there's no chili spot, right?
Right.
So you got to kind of parse it. And I thought, I wonder how many other people have to deal with this. And I thought, let's talk about getting rid of freezer food and how to deal with things like freezer burn.
Yeah, there's a couple things that come to mind real quick. By the way, I ate brats from September of 22. This past week on the grill. The wife and I are in a carnivore diet, and I'm trying to get everything meat and variety of stuff because while it sounds awesome, you can't eat steak every day. I do it two or three times a week. But where I want to go is you and I have the old-style freezers that don't self-defrost.
Right.
Okay.
I think they're making those again.
Well, I don't know about that, but what I do know is those are much better to keep your frozen meat
in
than the one that's on the top of your refrigerator, because if you got a frost
or
free,
the bottom.
Yeah, right. Yeah, thank you. Yep, because I have one of each of those too. Yeah. But if you think about it, how can anything be frost free unless the temperature comes up to melt the frost in the freezer?
They have heating elements in the walls that kick on once a day and warm up the sides.
Yep.
So any food that's touching those warms up right there and cools, warms, cools, warms, cools.
Every day.
And so there's a couple tips on that I thought would be important to talk about, and we're all guilty of this, but who hasn't been to the supermarket and seen
a deal,
bone-on chicken breasts for $1.59 a pound and bought three packs?
Yep.
Well, that's fine. It's not really, because if you want good chicken, you're going to go to a good market like Sobey. But if you do buy the you know, big brand stuff, you have to remember that that is not packaged for freezing. It's packaged for transport. All fresh chicken you buy has actually been frozen already, for one thing, because they pack it on ice because it's such foul meat.
Right. Yeah.
So if you're going to freeze chicken, I would recommend you buy freezer bags, because it's a thicker plastic, and then you pull them out and you put them in the bag and you vacuum it out, even if it's just with your air, but you squeeze all the air out of it and seal it up, because what that does is it gives you a nice protection against the air that's going to be inside that package, which is where your freezer burn wants to come from. The other thing is, if you go to a place, I love, you know, of course, going to Sobey's because it's so wonderful. But when you buy your meat there, it's wrapped in butcher paper. You can freeze that right out of the case.
Right.
You know, and freezer paper is the best thing. I mean, butcher paper is the best thing to freeze your meat in.
And Sobey does such a fantastic job training his people, because you go up and down that meat counter, you take a number, right? There's 9 or 10 people on his team that are serving you.
Just at the counter.
At the counter, right.
There's an army in the back.
Right, yeah. Every one of them asks you, are you freezing this or are you going to eat it in the next couple days? And that's why they do it, because they'll give it to you in a plastic bag if you're going to eat it in the next couple days, but they'll wrap it in freezer paper if you're going to keep it a little longer and you might throw it in your freezer.
Yeah, take the meat sticks, for example.
Right.
Those aren't going to make it out of the parking lot. So we know we're not freezing them.
You're right.
We're not freezing them.
But as I mentioned, we're on this carnivore diet, but I go over there, and the last time I was there, I bought two bone-in ribeyes, two porterhouse, and a tri-tip, right? Well, she's like, you want all those in freezer paper? I said, yes, and because I don't know which ones I'm going to eat when, right? But it just gave me the option to have those, and you don't have to. Now, I have a vac sealer. You have a vac sealer. That's really the best way to put them in there. But if for what I'm doing, I put that in there, it might only be in there 3 or 4 days, and I'm going to pull it back out.
Isn't that a shame?
Yeah.
I hate it when I do that. Why'd I freeze it?
Right. Yeah. But anyway, so it's the preparation and the storage. And if you get meat out that does have freezer burn on it, that doesn't mean you need to throw it away. But what I would do is maybe use that in a stew, or use it in some sort of a other dish, as opposed to just eating the meat freshly cooked.
Right. Because we're going to cover that in the fourth segment, too. Right. If you do have meat that you notice is ugly and it bothers you, and like, we're both pretty persnickety on our food.
Right.
So we see that stuff and, you know, you're half tempted to just give it to the dogs.
Right, yeah.
But you just can't always do that.
Right.
And stuff's kind of expensive these days.
Yeah. It just changes the texture. That frozen freezer burn, if you will, on the surface really is going to make it a little bit tougher, and it just changes the texture, especially in beef and chicken, that, you know, it's just not preferable, but it's still edible, but it's just not preferable.
And one thing I don't freeze a bunch is bread, because we have Hall Street and Wealthy Street Bakery providing us with wonderful fresh bread every week. And if you have not been in there, we're going to talk to the proprietor in the next segment and talk about why that place is so robust.
Yeah, and Andy's also going to, I know he's got some special stuff that he's making for the Easter dinners and stuff that we're going to have here in the next couple weeks. So, yeah, Andy Habermeyer, he's a proprietor at Wealthy Street and Hall Street Bakery, is going to be on the show in the next segment, and you won't want to miss that, because this guy is everything is artisan there. What I mean is it's made last night, and it's in their case today. And if it's been there more than one day, there's a day old bread rack, but there's not much on it. I'm going to tell you that, because they got it dialed in, and they do a tremendous business there.
Great.
So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're going to get all up in your bread coming up next. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fenn Valley Vineyards. Now hit me!
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Say, the Easter holiday is coming up. I think in the next week or two, we'll probably focus in on some of the big proteins that are typical for that. But we wanted to reach out to one of our sponsors who is a fantastic partner of the Grillin' Guys. And it's Andy Hevemeyer, and he's from the Wealthy Street and Hall Street Bakeries. Hey, Andy, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Well, what's on the specials list for Easter? What are you doing that people need to find out about in time?
Yeah, so we do our famous challah rolls that we do every holiday. So those are always a hit every year. It's kind of like a even better Hawaiian, like a Hawaiian roll. It's a challah bread, which is an egg-based bread, and it's a little bit sweet. But those we do every holiday, and we sell, hundreds of dozens of those.
Well, put down 104 dozen, because I want some, too.
Yeah, no, they're legit, and especially with some leftover Easter ham, if you're going to do a ham, man, that's living right there.
Yeah, ooh, sounds good, really good. Now, dense roll? Is it light and fluffy? What's that look like?
They're pretty dense, actually. It's a pretty dense egg-based bread. It's a traditional Jewish bread that we do, but in a roll form.
Nice.
You talk about dense. You're talking to the Grilling Guys. We get that.
Yeah, I relate. I relate. Yeah.
I knew I was talking to the right guys. we also do hot cross buns.
Oh.
Which are a big thing. I mean,
yes.
I guess I didn't really know about it until I started working here, but I guess I was in the minority on that for my entire life. But those are like smaller sweetened bread rolls with dried currants in them, and then a frosting cross on the top.
Ooh.
And it's kind of like along with dinner, or even could be dessert. But they're
that's really
crazy.
Old school. I haven't heard anybody offering those in I don't know how long.
Right.
Yeah.
I'd
always
good
known
to know.
That, like the child's the kids song, but I never knew that was actually a real thing until I started working here. But yeah, they're good. It's like I said, a sweetened roll, kind of cinnamony, kind of cardamom stuff, and then have dried currants in there, and then a frosting cross across the top.
Do you know the origin of those?
I have no clue.
Yeah. I do. Hall Street, Wealthy Street Bakery. That's where they're made.
No. No, I'm just curious because he said cardamom, and that's an unusual spice. It comes, it's used much in the Scandinavian countries. So I was curious if that was like some sort of, famous Swedish or Danish thing or something.
Know.
Danish.
There you go. Yeah, he's probably got some of those too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You know what they call Danish rolls? You know what they call Danish rolls in Denmark?
Here we go.
Croissant.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess I can sacrifice like 1 hour a week to baking history. I guess so I'm in the know next time.
Oh, we could do a whole new segment.
You know what, Andy? Just make it up as you go along. Nobody's going to know the difference, brother.
Sure your listeners would love like an hour expose on the origins of hot cross buns.
Right. You know what? I've always just heard that as a description for my wife. So I mean, you can use it. It's has a lot of different definitions. But
yeah. Besides that, we'll have all of our normal breads and baked goods and stuff like that. You can place your order online or in-store or give us a call. Also, we're doing a couple of stocking stuffers, or not stocking stuffers, I guess they'd be basket stuffers this
right.
time of year. We're doing 4 packs of macaroons, which are,
ooh,
these things are good.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
Our our pastry chef knows what she's doing, and they are fantastic.
Now, how'd you pick macaroons? Is that a traditional Easter thing?
No, it's just something that we can color the right way, right?
Oh,
so
yeah.
Like it can look Eastery.
And they're wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are. These ones we do are legit.
Way better for you than jelly beans.
So, Andy, let's go to the back end of the meal. Not hot cross buns, but rather dessert. And tell me, what did you have for dessert for the Easter holiday?
So we'll be doing some of our bars for the holiday. Mm. We do fancy cupcakes for Easter. So they're like decorated with like a peep looking thing, like a little duck or
chick.
We have,
yeah,
a chick, egg nests, which have little eggs inside, and the frosting made to look like a nest. We do little carrots on our carrot cake ones. So those are beautiful. And we sell a ton of those cupcakes.
You know, you might go interactive with that. You could have like a really cool, display, and you could go down to Tractor Supply. They have live chicks.
We'll do a one buy one, get one. Right.
Right. Yeah. Ship a live chick with every cupcake. Right. Yeah. That's the gift that keeps giving right there,
yeah,
baby.
Yeah. And watch the calamity ensue at Easter dinner.
Right, yeah. All right, so, Andy, where can people find you if they don't know?
Yeah, so our Hall Street location is on the corner of Hall and Fuller in Grand Rapids, and that's the Hall Street Bakery. And the Wealthy Street Bakery, which has been around for 24 years now, is 610 Wealthy, which is between unwealthy between College and Eastern.
Right.
Okay, let me break this down or maybe set the scene a little bit for people who have still never been in either one of your facilities. I traditionally go to the Wealthy Street because that was the first one I ever went into, and I was smitten. I was struck as a foodie. And you know, the cool thing about your facilities is, I believe, this is just my perception of watching the people in there, is that the people that go there are 100% pure, whacked out foodies. They are so into having just the right thing because they've already been disappointed at so many other places. And are you going to pay just a little bit more? Maybe. Is it noticeable? No. No, not at all. It's going to be cheaper than $5, which is all freezer food.
Right. So one of the
which
favorite...
Which is my nomenclature
right,
for Starbucks.
One of my favorite things on your menu is you have a breakfast croissant.
Oh, yeah.
And it's cooked in their brick oven where they make their pizzas. And you're going to wait 7-8 minutes for this sandwich. But it's every bit worth it. Because
our breakfast sandwiches are legit.
And you actually...
A little teaser. I mean... You guys are going to be the first to know this, but coming in the next couple of weeks, we're doing buttermilk biscuits too for all of our breakfast sandwiches.
Ooh, wow. You actually package those and distribute them too.
What was that?
Those breakfast croissants. I've seen those in your Hall Street wrappers after they're, you know, cooled off or whatever.
Yeah.
I've seen them in your wrappers at different places and purchased them.
Oh yeah. We supply to Kingma's and then a couple other coffee shops around town too. But yeah, we're always looking for a few new wholesale opportunities. Another thing that we do we do all the time, but it's especially good for these holidays is we have a super wide variety of gluten-free items. So
nice.
If you have that, I won't call them weird, but if you have that one aunt who's vegan and gluten-free and this and that and this and whatever. We always have something for them as well.
All right, Andy, we're out of time, brother, but thanks so much for picking up the phone and taking a break from your busy schedule. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds great. Thank you.
See ya.
Barbecue Bob for Garrett's Appliance. Lots of folks are remodeling, and if you are, you owe it to yourself to go to Garrett's Appliance. They made my kitchen the perfect example of elegant and functional. Visit either location, 29th Street in Kentwood or 28th Street in Wyoming. Garrett's Appliance also has a super lineup of patio kitchen equipment, and you can count on their design team for a perfect outdoor grilling area. Visit GarrettsAppliances.com. That's GarrettsAppliances.com. grillinguys.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
With the Grilling Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guy rig, hit the brakes, it's going to be big. Stick around.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Yeah, we just finished up with Andy Havemeyer from Wealthy Street and Hall Street Bakery. That's the bread. And in this holy season, what else do we need? We need the wine. It's Brian Lesperance from Fen Valley. Brian, thanks for getting up and being on the show with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, as always.
Sounds like we're setting up for the Last Supper, Jop.
Right, man. Well, it is the Lenten season, and we're coming to the end of it, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, so what is cooking for the early spring, and what are people wanting to keep on their radars in terms of Fen Valley? Which, by the way, if you don't know, if you've never been there, it's located right on south of Holland, Michigan, in Fenville, near Douglas. It's just a wonderful agricultural area, and the Fen Valley vineyards are sweeping. So what are you preparing right now?
Well, you know, spring's pretty exciting for us, too. You know, we release some new wines, generally speaking, white wines from last fall and reds from a couple of years before that. We start releasing those in April of each year, and we kick it off with a big effort that we call New Release Wine and Food Pairings, which are held on two Saturdays and two Sundays. This year it's the 12th and 13th and the 26th and 27th of April, where guests come in and get to try small bites of food that we house prepare that could go with these six new wines. And so it's a really cool experience for us as winemakers. It's kind of like taking your kids to school for the first time, where you just, you know, you're sort of anxious about how they're going to perform in public and ready to get some feedback and all that stuff. So we're gearing up for that right now, as the weather starts to turn and it starts to feel like spring has sprung around here.
Brian, couple questions. If somebody wanted to do that, are there seats still open on those two weekends?
Yeah.
Okay. And then what wines are you going to be debuting? So if a listener had a particular type of wine that they really enjoy, they'd know what they're going to get.
Yeah, good question. So, yes, there are seats available. Just head to FenValley.com and look for New Release Wine and Food Pairings as the easiest way to book in. It's about a one-hour experience, so we run them all afternoon, both days. So, you know, the later afternoon spots tend to fill up faster, so probably be about that. Yeah, we have six really cool wines. We just actually tasted through them this week with our team. Vino Blanco, which is a Portuguese-style wine, modeled after Vino Verde, slightly effervescent, really light, crisp, dry white wine. Then we have an unoaked Chardonnay. That's really nice. A dry rosé from 2024 as well. We've got a late harvest Riesling, which is basically made by allowing the grapes to hang longer on the vine. So they basically start to slightly turn to raisin, and that concentrates the sugars and the flavors. So it's this really nice semi-sweet wine, but with a lot of acidity and flavor to balance it out. It'll be a great wine with some barbecue, especially if it had a little heat on it. Then we're going to finish up with a couple reds. We've got our Meritage, which is from 2022, blend of Cab Franc, Cab Sauv, and Merlot. A little more Merlot dominant now, so it's a really nice, smooth, super friendly food wine. So really good with something off the grill there.
Yeah. My wife's favorite wine that you make.
It's a nice one. You know, they're always good, but we're starting to go a little more in the Merlot direction on this.
Nice.
And I think it's just going to make it really food friendly. Then we're going to wrap with a straight Merlot and a reserve, which is our new We have a new label for this Reserve Series. It's really cool looking. It's a black label. It's got an embossment of an actual Merlot leaf, kind of hand-drawn by our designer. So it's the second, I'm sorry, the third of three reds that are coming out in that new label this year. And so it's going to be a fun setup. A lot of different kinds of wines, all really food-friendly, though. So if you're gearing up for a little more outdoor cooking, I think these would all fit really nicely in as a pairing.
Well, I'd have to say your Merlot the last few years, because traditionally you haven't always had a lot of Merlot, at least from my recollection, but I was very happy to see it. And I think it is just a wonderful, wonderful change. I'm a Meritage person myself. That's my go-to. I just know that I can open a bottle of that and just be right at home.
Yep.
And but your Merlot is something I think a little broader in acceptance, maybe for more palates. It's got I don't know, maybe a little softer approach or something like that. It's just a wonderful, wonderful blend.
Well, you know, Bob, the movie Sideways kind of ruined Merlot for the U.S. market.
Yes.
You know, if you've ever seen the movie,
oh, yeah,
it sort of pokes fun at the grape down there in Santa Barbara County in California. I was actually there last year, and
did you straighten them out?
Merlot back in the ground because the people have forgotten about the movie, and you know, Merlot just got a bad reputation because it was just the foil in that film. But in truth, it's just a really great food wine. In Michigan, our climate with our sort of warm days and cool nights by the lake just drives a lot of flavor into it. So you get a lot of dark fruit flavor, but you don't have those really, really aggressive tannins that you see with some of the other reds. So it just makes it a real approachable wine. Tons of different ways you can go food pairing wise. So the only reason we didn't have it before is we just didn't have enough in the ground, and we planted a lot more now. And so it's going to be a real foundation element of our dry red program moving forward.
Well, I'd have to say that Pinot Noir skyrocketed after that movie as well.
It did. And there's nothing wrong with that.
You know,
there's a lot of room out there for good wine. So we can love them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
funny movie anyway.
Right. Yeah.
It is. Oh, it's a great movie. It's a great movie. I just wish they would have picked a grape I didn't love so much to be the bad guy. <you know? laughs>
So Brian, how'd the vineyard come through the winter? We had a really, really cold time for an extended period of time, but we didn't get a lot of snow, but when we got it, we got a lot. You know, it was off and on.
We had a good amount of snow this year. I think we were just slightly below average over here along the lakeshore, but within the normal realm of possibility. Felt like a normal winter, you know, so that's good. We did get a little chilly there in January for a couple nights, got in the low single digits below zero. That's a little scary for these grapes. You know, we like to be above zero if at all possible, but it was a good time of year to be that cold because the grapes were fully dormant. That's always part of the equation. Also, you know, we really try to manage crop load so that the grapevines are going into winter as strong as possible. So we saw very little notice damage here on our farm. We're basically have tested all of the various varietals and locations as we go through pruning to make sure that we leave enough buds out for this year. And we're pretty happy. You know, the only challenge is, of course, you can have a great winter, and then, you know, we got to get through spring still. You know, all of us perpetual fruit growers along the lakeshore, be it peaches or apricots or, you know, pears, whatever, we're all here holding our breath until about Mother's Day to see, you know, make sure that we like to stay a little chilly right now, keep everything asleep as long as possible.
Right.
The weather's been all right. And then, you know, when we do get warm, we start seeing some green tissue out there on the vines, you know, then we want to keep it above freezing. That's the name of the game.
Yeah. So Brian, reiterate for everybody, if they just tuned in, the events you've got going on, these tastings, when they are again and how they can register.
So the best thing to do is to just head to fennvalley.com. And there you can find under new release wine and food pairings, you can find all the four dates in April. We get a little break there for Easter, so we got two non-consecutive weekends for that thing, and then we wrap it up actually with a winemaker's dinner, a six-course dinner on May 3rd.
Wonderful.
Those six wines with a full-blown, you know, big dinner. So that's how you do it. Just head to
it's
website
so cool and, what you guys do, and I just want to thank you for, you know, if you like this show, you can thank Fen Valley and go out there and let them know, because they were one of our very first sponsors. Brian Lesperance, Fen Valley Winery, West Michigan. We love you, man.
Thank you for having us. Always a pleasure.
Okay.
All right. Coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station. We're going to talk about barbecue and some of the stuff that might be in your freezer still, and how to maybe a little tip and technique to make sure that it turns out great. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network.
And not only that, but don't be turned off by that, because this is a way to save money and save your food.
All right, coming up next, Bob will tell you all about it.
Hi, this is Andy Havemeyer, operating owner of Wealthy Street Bakery, where we're more than just pastries. We also offer catering. From baked goods and coffee to sandwich platters and salads, we have something for everyone and every occasion. Let us make your next meeting or event simple and easy. We also can deliver. Check out our menu online or give us a call. Mention the Grilling Guys and receive a free cookie tray on your first order. Wealthy Street Bakery, your local caterer. Check out our menus online at wealthystreetbakery.com and also at hallstreetbakery.com.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grilling Guy.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, that Brian Lesperance from Fen Valley. If you've not been down there, look it up online, Fen Valley, F-E-N-N, Valley.
It's such a cool spot.
It's really cool. And this is real wine, guys. This is not pop wine from Michigan. This guy is a vintner that is third generation at this farm. And these guys really know how to make wine. And it's like one of Michigan's best kept secrets down there. And we're trying to make it not that way, because you need to get down there and see it. And this tasting thing that he's got these couple weekends, and he closed right at the end with this winemaker's dinner. If you want to impress a date, go down there. It's like a five-course meal. You get six different wine pairings, and it is amazing.
Yeah. It's like you kind of feel like you're at a fancy banquet. I mean, it's and it's not that fancy necessarily, but, I mean, the food and the presentations and the service. I think of several occasions around the world I've been to that were just – you go, wow, how did I get into this moment? That's one of those places.
Yep. And it's not that expensive, guys. No. Look it up at fenvalley.com.
They try and break even.
Right. Yep. And because it's a marketing event for the winery, but you can really benefit from it.
And make sure when you're shopping with any of our sponsors, you let them know that the Grilling Guys sent you there, because these people need to understand that their sponsorship in this show is paying them dividends.
Yep. And we appreciate them, and we hope you do too.
So we're talking about getting rid of food out of the freezer. And I'll go over it one more time. Chicken is notorious for freezer burn, and that's because everybody buys these styrofoam packages with the thin plastic over the top, Cryovac, and they throw it in the freezer. And that stuff is always freezer burn. Even if you have a frost-free freezer, that stuff is going to be freezer burn, and it has to do with the way the moisture wants to cycle on and off that protein as it freezes. So take that stuff out of the package. Buy those Ziploc freezer bags. There's a reason they're called freezer bag. It's thicker. Buy those. Squeeze all the air out. Label them and put a date. Put a date on that bag.
Yep.
So let's say you pull out some steaks or some piece of meat, and it's got that freezer burn. Well, number one, you know the flavor is going to be affected.
Yep.
So, first of all, when you see that lighter piece of protein there, get your favorite fillet knife or whatever your shaving kind of knife is, maybe a serrated or
a sharp one,
bread
definitely
knife,
sharp,
and hold that thing on a plane and just kind of skim that piece off of there, and you'll see right below it a certain depth, it just goes away. So you can get rid of it that way. But let's say it's steaks. I don't want steaks that taste like the spaghetti I froze next to it or whatever it tends to absorb. So what I'm going to do with that steak, and I rarely do this, but what I'm going to do with that one is I'm going to marinate it. And I'm going to find something that my bride loves or my family loves or my guests coming over, or let's say they're Greek. I'm going to pull out Charlie Jabor's shish kebab marinade, because it's my go-to anyway, and I'm going to marinate that steak in that, and at least for a couple hours on the countertop before I grill it, because I want to add a profile to it that's going to mask whatever that funky thing is that's coming into it.
Yeah, and part of that, with that freezer burn, the reason it burns is it dries out before it freezes. And then when it freezes, with that dry surface on there, you want to marinate it. Get some moisture back in there. And it'll mask, if you didn't get all the freezer burn off, it'll mask some of that and make it much more palatable than if you just put salt and pepper on it.
And that's that moisture transfer I was talking about. Right. And you're exactly right, Jop.
Yep.
Again.
So it's both times in this year.
So another way you can do these meats is, let's say you have a nice big cast iron Dutch oven or something you want to put on your grill.
What's that?
You want to put it on your grill. Like my Cajun grill has a spot for it.
Right.
It sits right down in it.
My stove does now, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can do it inside if you're if so inclined. Not everybody has, you know, a bunch of grills. But you can literally put a piece of cast out on your grill or in your kitchen, and you can saute that meat. And there you can infuse with your profiles whatever direction you want to take that meat in.
You know, and I might make one other suggestion. It's more of a winter dish, and we're kind of coming out of winter, but stroganoff. You can dice up those steaks into pieces and put it into a stroganoff, and it'll taste perfect because the stroganoff has a sauce and
might have some chuck roast in your freezer.
There you go. Yep, exactly.
And if you're like me, I have my butcher cut them for 2-inch.
Yep.
So if you're going to do that with stroganoff, I'm going to tell you that you're going to want to cut all the fat off of that thing, believe it or not, and you're going to want to cut it into the muscle groups. And then turn it sideways and cut those in half down it so you end up with a nice 1-inch piece. Why, you say? Because I don't want a 2-inch strand of protein in any dish I'm serving.
Right.
It's going to break up and get very
tender. Yeah, yep.
And I want that to be a nice little bite-sized piece, not stringy.
Yeah.
That looks like, I don't know.
Well, it's hard to eat, too, honestly. You know, but it's those are a couple things that you can do with this freezer meat. The other day, I grabbed some shrimp out of the freezer, and it was a big bag of them that I had purchased, and it was about half the bag left. And it just has that little zip seal on the top of the bag. Well, it didn't get quite sealed, so there was freezer burn on the shrimp. When you thawed them out and put them in a pan of water,
you could see it.
Well, yeah, there was like a white rim on the edge of those.
Yep.
And that was freezer burn, right? So I'm like, well, those aren't shrimp cocktail shrimp anymore. So what I did is I took a beef tallow and put quite a little bit of it in a pan, and then I threw some garlic in there, and then I sauteed them on a really hot skillet. They were only in there for maybe 30, 45 seconds, and I'm just sauteing them in this beef tallow. But that tallow is oily, right? I mean, it's beef fat is what it is. So it took that.
Disappeared.
It disappeared. That's exactly right.
Did you hit them with a little touch of lemon and sea salt when you were done?
When they were done.
Oh.
Yeah, right.
God, I'm hungry.
It was amazing. But that happens a lot. I think that people have shrimp. They get a bag. And obviously, they were raw ones. They weren't cooked. That's all I'll buy because I want to cook my own when I want to eat them. But this one, these were frozen, and they got freezer burn. So just a little tip there. Not everybody's got beef tallow. You could do that with whole butter. Don't use margarine, but if you've got real butter, that turn out as well.
If you're fortunate, you can have a friend like Jop, because we had T. Good on the show last week, and he talked about a special barbecue sauce that you can get in Lafayette.
Jack Miller.
And Jop went and bought some, so when we met in the parking lot on the way in this morning, he gave me my wood container back, thank you. And
you gave me the wood.
And so. A little bag of some of that. I can't wait to get home this
You'll love
morning.
It. You'll love it. I tried it. That was T-Gid. If you're listening, T-Gid, thanks for the tip. But I got to tell you one more thing. This is how the grilling guys roll. I got the package in the mail. Each bottle is individually wrapped, so they didn't get broken. But there was a handwritten note to me from the owner.
Wow.
Said, hey, man, I appreciate you supporting our business. I sent you a couple extra bottles just to say thanks.
Oh, T-Gid must have called him.
Right. Well, yeah, somehow. But
yeah.
But anyway, at the end of the day, he sent recipes. He sent a whole page of recipes.
Man. If you ever get a chance, you got to go to Lafayette, Louisiana, and visit some of the eateries. And, of course, the Percy Guidry Company. Go buy yourself a Cajun grill. And meet with T-Gid or his brother Greg. and they'll take you to the old time village market, and you can get yourself a po' boy. Yeah. And that area, you don't have to go to New Orleans to get good Cajun. You'll actually be served a little better if you stay out of New Orleans.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, I just had to, once you mentioned that, is the box came in the mail, everything arrived perfectly, but I open it up and there's a handwritten note, and it's the grandson of their really? Founder is running the company.
I bet you Keith, I bet you T Gids had him on Grilling with the Gurus.
Yeah, right.
And that's a great TV show down there. Yeah. And of course, our man T Gid does that show every week with his partner, who's just hysterical. But that's good Cajun food. We love food. We love trying to share these things with you. Thank you so much. If you listen to us on podcast, if you're streaming, if you're on WBRN in Big Rapids, or if you're on WJIM in Lansing, and of course, the Jethro Nation,
right.
We sure love you for taking time.
I forgot one thing, and this is your bonus for listening right to the end, is that our friends at ThermoPen have sent us ThermoPens to give away to our listeners. Go on thegrillingguys.com, register for a ThermoPen, because we're going to be giving one of those away here in the next couple weeks. It's in hand. The site is up. So we'd really like to give one to you, but you got to register. Promise we won't bomb you with information.
Tell them how they do that.
Well, they go to thegrillingguys.com, and you'll see register for the contest right on the page.
Right on the main page.
Yep.
Wonderful.
But you've been listening to Grilling Guys. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Get out your backyard, fire up a grill or a smoker, and create some grill envy in your neighborhood.
See ya.